Howdy, y'all, and welcome to yet another episode of This Week in Texas. As always, I'm your host, Jeremy Kitchen. On this week's episode, we'll discuss bills that the governor vetoed and signed off on to cap out the 87th legislative session, what we know so far in relation to upcoming special sessions, and Governor Abbott's announcement of a Texas border wall. Buckle up for your preview of the week ahead in Texas politics. The 87th legislative session concluded on May 31st. Yesterday was the deadline for Governor Abbott to consider any bills that passed the entirety of the legislative process. He had the option to sign or not sign bills, as well as to veto them. In total, Abbott signed 1,034 bills. He allowed 105 bills to pass into law without his signature and vetoed 20 bills. Of the bills he took the time to sign, the most notable were a slew of Second Amendment-related bills last week, like Senate Bill 19 by State Senator Charles Schwertner, a Republican from Georgetown. This bill would have prohibited any governmental entity from contracting with any business that discriminates against firearm and ammunition businesses or organizations. This was Texas's attempt to eliminate the last remaining vestiges of Operation Choke Point, a plan concocted by the former Obama administration, which was a joint program operated by the U.S. Department of Justice and the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Under that program, the Department of Justice issued directives to banks to begin restricting access to various banking services for businesses in certain industries, including the firearms and ammunition industries. The program officially ended in 2017, but bank executives and financial institutions seemingly continued the discriminatory banking practices. This bill was an attempt to address those continued practices. Another notable bill was Senate Bill 20 by Republican State Senator Donna Campbell of New Braunfels. This bill allowed guests to store firearms in their hotel rooms. Senate Bill 19 and Senate Bill 20 were both legislative priorities of Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick's. Senate Bill 550 by Republican State Senator Drew Springer of Munster removed the shoulder or belt holster requirements, allowing Texans to carry firearms in whatever kind of holster they choose. House Bill 957 by State Representative Tom Oliverson repeals the criminal offense of possessing, manufacturing, transporting, or repairing a firearm silencer. It also ensures that any firearm suppressor manufactured in Texas and that remains in Texas will not be subject to federal law or federal regulation. House Bill 1500 by State Representative Cole Hefner prevents any government entity from prohibiting the sale or transportation of firearms or ammunition during a declared disaster or emergency. House Bill 2622 by State Representative Justin Holland makes Texas a Second Amendment sanctuary state by protecting Texans from new federal gun control regulations. And of course, House Bill 1927 by State Representative Matt Schaefer, a Republican from Tyler, authorizes what's called constitutional carry in Texas, meaning law-abiding citizens or Texans can legally carry a handgun without a license to carry. While signing the bills, Governor Abbott said, "Politicians from the federal level to the local level have threatened to take guns from law-abiding citizens, but we will not let that happen in Texas. Texas will always be the leader in defending the Second Amendment, which is why we built a barrier around gun rights this session. These seven laws will protect the rights of law-abiding citizens and ensure that Texas remains a bastion of freedom. Thank you to the Texas legislature for getting these bills to my desk." Abbott also signed some of the remaining legislative priorities of leadership last week to include some of his own emergency priorities, like House Bill 5 by State Representative Trent Ashby, a Republican from Lufkin. This bill created the regulatory framework for the incentivized expansion of broadband services to rural and underserved areas of the state. It also included Senate Bill 6 by State Senator Kelly Hancock, a Republican from North Richland Hills, which sought to provide for business liability protections from things like COVID-19 and other pandemics. He also signed House Bill 4 by State Representative Fore Price, a Republican from Amarillo, which served as the omnibus telemedicine or telehealth bill. He also signed the ban on critical race theory being used in public schools. While signing the bill, he released a statement saying, "House Bill 3979 is a strong move to abolish critical race theory in Texas, but more must be done. The issue will be added to a special session agenda." This statement has caused some confusion for activists who are in support of the ban, as they were told by the bill's author, State Representative Steve Toth, Republican from the Woodlands, that it's the strongest ban in the country. But then they also have Abbott saying that it needs to be revisited. As the bill passed the House, some weakening amendments were accepted. They were stripped off initially as it passed the Senate, but when it came back to the House, Democrat State Representative James Tallarico called a point of order against the bill, causing it to again be sent back to the Senate, where ultimately the watered-down version of the bill was what was eventually passed and sent to Governor Abbott. You can find out more about this issue in today's show notes page or on our website, texasscorecard.com. Abbott also followed through with a threat from a few weeks back. In response to Democrat House lawmakers walking out and breaking quorum at the end of the legislative session, ultimately killing the prospects for Abbott's emergency priorities related to election integrity and bail reform, Abbott threatened via Twitter on the last day of the legislative session to veto Article 10 of the overall budget. Article 10 funds the legislative branch. In relation to the budget, the governor has the ability to employ what is called a line item veto to specifically get rid of certain parts without vetoing the overall bill. By vetoing this section of the budget, it would in effect mean that after September 1st and going forward, barring any changes, that any monies allocated to the legislature, including agencies like the Legislative Research Library and Sunset Commission, as well as legislative staff, would have no additional funding. In his original threat via Twitter, Abbott said, "No pay for those that abandon their responsibilities." Almost immediately, you had activists decrying the move as a separation of powers issue. Abbott said this as he went on to side the overall budget. "Texans don't run away from a legislative fight, and they don't walk away from unfinished business. Funding should not be provided for those who quit their jobs early, leaving their state with unfinished business and exposing taxpayers to higher costs for an additional legislative session." Of course, Abbott went on to sign the $248.5 billion biennial budget for fiscal year 2022 and 2023, calling it fiscally conservative and touting its inclusion of no new taxes. It's important to note that the budget does maintain the existing property tax relief added last session, but does not add any additional relief despite Texans all across the state experiencing rising property tax bills. It's also important to note here that all of this was in retaliation for his own emergency legislative priorities dying, but neither chamber of the legislature brought up any of those items in the first 60 days of the 140-day legislative session, even though it was possible for them to do so after Abbott's State of the State address on February 1st. The governor ultimately vetoed 20 bills. One of the most notable of those bills vetoed was House Bill 686 by State Representative Joe Moody, a Democrat from El Paso, and Speaker Pro Tem of the House of Representatives. This bill sought to reform criminal sentencing for juvenile offenders and was a part of the criminal justice reform package supported by House Speaker Dade Phelan, which he called Smarter Justice, Safer Texas. In his statement on the veto, Abbott said that the author was to be commended for aiming to provide opportunities for the young offender population, but that as written, the bill conflicts with jury instructions required by the existing Texas Code of Criminal Procedure, which would in turn result in confusion and needless disruptive litigation. He indicated he looked forward to working with the legislature to accomplish the ultimate goal, however, in future legislative sessions. Also related to Phelan's criminal justice reform priorities, Abbott vetoed Senate Bill 281 by State Senator Chuy Hinojosa. This bill would have stopped the use of hypnosis in investigations. Abbott cited an amendment added by the House sponsor, State Representative Eddie Lucio III, as the reason for his veto, and that it would have dramatically expanded the scope in an unacceptable way. The amendment would have granted lifetime immunity for anyone who undergoes this type of hypnosis from having any subsequent statements used in a criminal trial. Another notable bill that Abbott vetoed is that of Senate Bill 474 by State Senator Eddie Lucio, of what was known as the dog tether bill. According to Abbott, Texans love their dogs, so it's no surprise that our statutes already protect them by outlawing true animal cruelty. Yet, Senate Bill 474 would compel every dog owner, on pain of criminal penalties, to monitor things like the tailoring of the dog's collar, the time the dog spends in the bed of a truck, and the ratio of tether to dog length, as measured from the tip of the nose to the base of the tail. Texas is no place for this kind of micromanaging and over-criminalization. The impending dates for at least two upcoming special sessions have not been publicly announced as of yet. It's expected that now that Abbott has completed his work with the 87th regular session, that information will become apparent in short order. Based on statements by Abbott himself, however, we do know that the following issues will be on the call for at least one of the special sessions. These include redistricting and the use of over $16 billion of additional funding from the federal government in the wake of COVID-19 to be used in the second special session sometime around October. It also includes bail reform and election integrity, two of Abbott's emergency priorities that died in the waning days of the regular session, as well as improving the ban on the use of critical race theory in public schools, though we have no additional details as to the specifics of those bills. It also includes social media censorship. This is notable because it took the form of Senate Bill 12 in the regular session and died in the House of Representatives after being delayed by the House sponsor, State Representative Scott Sanford, a Republican from McKinney, several times on a series of reported crucial points of order found in the bill. This, of course, was also a legislative priority of Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick's, which he specifically asked to be on a special session call shortly after it died in the House. Lastly, we know that restoring Article 10 funding for the legislature will also be a consideration. It's expected that many of these issues will be made more clear in the days and weeks ahead. It's rumored that the first special session will take place sometime between mid-July and mid-August, but there have thus far been no confirmation of those reports. Last week, Governor Abbott announced his border wall efforts surrounded by Lieutenant Governor Patrick, House Speaker Dade Phelan, the Senate Finance Committee Chairman Jane Nelson, Republican from Flower Mound, and House Appropriations Committee Chairman Greg Bonin, a Republican from Friendswood, as well as several Republican House and Senate lawmakers. It was generally short on giving specifics, but he did mention that he was authorizing over $250 million to be used as a, quote, down payment to solicit a project manager after directing the Texas Facilities Commission to ultimately control the project. He also indicated that a public website had been set up to solicit private donations for the funding of the wall, as well as he signed several letters to include one asking the federal government to return state land to allow them to work with private landowners in actually constructing the wall. Abbott stopped short of giving any specific timeline or overall cost of the project and made every effort to say that the hired project manager would ultimately have that information. This, of course, comes at the heels of a revisited border security effort Abbott announced at a border security summit 2 weeks ago, where he created a new task force that was established, and he also renewed participation in the Interstate Compact soliciting help from other states to secure the overall border. It's likely that over the course of the next few weeks and months, additional details will follow. That's it for this week's episode. Join us again next Monday for another update. In the meantime, make sure to check out our in-depth summaries of specific legislative issues on our website, texasscorecard.com, where we already have a growing list of what we call autopsy reports, in the hopes of providing detailed summaries of key legislative priorities of the overall 87th legislative session. As always, if you want up-to-the-minute updates, make sure to follow me on Twitter or Facebook by searching for the handle @OpinionatedK. I'll see y'all next week. Take care.